So when we think of a manager, we typically think of a person with a somewhat respectable position in our society, correct? Maybe the person is the person who manages the corner store. Or maybe they manage a service like a post office or a bank. Maybe the manager has gone to college or to university, or maybe they've just worked their way up over the years through honest and hard work. Many of us, myself included, at one time or another, have held managerial roles. But that's somewhat different from the manager who we hear about this morning in this parable from Jesus. Yes, this manager certainly has some managerial responsibilities. And maybe he even got those responsibilities over time through honesty and hard work. But the manager in this morning's story, this morning's parable, is not the kind of manager whom you and I would typically think of. This manager is actually a slave. The manager in this morning's parable from Jesus was almost certainly a slave. And we know this because of the Greek word that is used in Luke's gospel to describe the relationship between the manager and his master. And that word is oikonomos. And we have to remember that ancient Rome, and by extension Judea, where Jesus lived, these were slave-holding societies. And the manager, the slave in this case, was almost certainly responsible for managing other slaves. He was a slave manager. And so when the manager is called to account for the funds that he's accused of mismanaging, he says to himself, almost in a panic, "What will I do now that my master is taking my position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg." He's not speaking metaphorically in those instances, folks. He means it quite literally. If he is demoted, if he's demoted from his position of authority and goes back to being an ordinary slave laborer, he's fearful of being too old, of being too old to go back to the back-breaking labor that he likely knew too well as a younger slave, whatever that labor was. And he's also too ashamed to beg, too ashamed to ask his fellow slaves, who's he's likely been managing for a number of years, who he's been giving direction to now all of a sudden support him, to support him with what little scraps of coin and food they might have to spare. And so this manager, this slave, is in a real predicament in this morning's parable from Jesus. And so what does he do? Well, in fear for his position, he oversteps his authority. And he clearly oversteps his authority. This slave, this manager, summons his master's debtors one by one, something he likely in no case had the authority to do. And then he starts bargaining with them. Can you imagine that? A slave bargaining with his owner's goods, bargaining with his owner's debts. "How much do you owe the master?" he says to the first person. 100 jugs of olive oil," the debtor replies. Like a haggler at a market, he says, "Okay, take your bill. Take your bill," the manager says. "Sit down quickly and make it 50. "How about you?" he says to the next one, to the next debtor who shows up. "How much do you owe my master?" 100 containers of wheat," he replies. "Good, good," the manager says. "Take your bill and make it 80. Now, the master could have had the manager horsewhipped for this. Maybe even worse, because, as I mentioned, he had no right to be haggling in the first place, to reduce the debtor's debts. But the manager, this slave, in desperation, out of fear that he'll have to return to the life and the work of a physical slave laborer that he just can't no longer perform, he's banking on something. He is banking that his master will be happier with having cash on hand than having a debt on a piece of paper. Even though he's overstepped his authority, even though he's gone outside the bounds of his job, now his master no longer just has a piece of paper, but he has 50 jars of olive oil, where he previously had none. Now his master has 80 containers of wheat, where he previously had none. The slave, out of desperation, is banking that his master will be merciful because he now has something to show, to offer him for all of his scheming. And sure enough, the master in the story is merciful. And the master commends the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly through dishonest means. Now, why does Jesus tell us this story? Why does Jesus tell us this story with dishonesty right at the heart of it? Doesn't sound like a very Jesus thing to do, does it? Well, as I think I've said to you before, as I often say when I'm working with children through a methodology called godly play, parables, these short stories that Jesus gives us in the Gospels, they're kind of like precious gifts. Imagine a gift under a Christmas tree, all wrapped up in a gold box with a bow on top. That's kind of like a parable. When you start cutting off the wrapping paper of each of these parables, pulling out the bubble wrap, if you will, start cracking all the bubble wrap bits. You begin to take the pieces of the parable out of the box and you start playing with them and unpacking them. Rarely can you ever get them back into their original packaging. Once parables are out of their boxes, they take on a life of their own, and that is perhaps their richest form of grace. Parables certainly have multiple meanings, and we're wise to always remember that. A parable can mean many things at the same time. Now, one of the things that I hear this parable saying to us today is that Jesus always takes the side of the poor and the oppressed. Think about it. This manager, this slave who Jesus talks about, is living in a culture where he is literally owned by another human being, where he can be rejected from his post and reduced to a slave laborer or a beggar at a whim because of accusations that are suddenly brought against him. Never mind due process. Never mind an HR review or an investigation by the RCMP. We'll have none of that. This man can be reduced to nothing because of a possibly spurious, for all we know, accusation. He is a slave. He lives constantly in an oppressive environment. This man lives in fear. And what does Jesus say to this man? Does he paint a picture of a master who has the manager horsewhipped for overstepping his authority, who knocks him down a peg for daring to step out of line? No. Jesus, the master in this story, takes the side of the poor and the oppressed. Jesus takes the side of those who are living in fear and struggling with structural inequality. Jesus says, and I quote, "I tell you, make friends of yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes," end quote. Jesus reminds us that none of what we claim to possess is actually really ours in the first place. Yes, we've got bread in our shelves at home. We've got cash in our pockets this day. Some of us may even put checks on the offering plate this morning drawn from bank accounts that have our names literally written on the check. But none of that wealth is really, truly ours. All of life, all that we as humanity claim to possess, is actually God's. All of life flows from the abundance of God's grace. And as Jesus said to us in Luke's gospel, this is a theme that is developed in Luke's gospel. He said to us a few weeks ago, quote, "None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions," end quote. None of you can become my disciple if you do not acknowledge that all of life flows from God. As Jesus says to us quite forcefully this day, you cannot serve God and wealth, because God will always take the side of the poor and the oppressed. God will always take the side and show mercy to the slave manager who steps out of line in this morning's gospel. God will always extend love and grace in lavish abundance to the places of this world that the rest of us feel are unworthy or undeserving or unjust. use the words of Jesus' mother Mary at the beginning of Luke's gospel, words that I know Reverend Jillian quoted to you a few weeks ago, words that Mary sang to Jesus in Luke's gospel as he abided in her womb, words that she sang to him, my friends, as a lullaby. God will always bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. God will always fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Amen.